Maya. Singing? Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Sri Radhe, Jaya Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Sri Radhe,
Krishna, 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 Krishna. I think there is the seventh. Yes, here it is. Thank you very much. Let me just, my dear devotees, find the text for today, and then we will be able to chant. It's one of my favorite verses, and explanations also by Prabhupada. So, Yavandikaya ratam atma vishopa kalpam.
Yavandikaya ratam atma vishopa kalpam.
Date garishta charana chanaya nishatam.
Date garishta charana chanaya nishatam.
Jnana semachuta balo datat ashta shatru.
Jnana semachuta balo
Tushta upashanta idam vijaya. Yavandrikaya ratamatma vi na vashopakalpam. Date garishta charana chanaya nishatam.
Date garishta charana chanaya nishatam.
Jnana simachuta balo dadat asta shatru.
Jnana simachuta balo dadat asta shatru.
Tushta upashanta idam vijaya.
Ananda tushta upashanta idam vijaya.
Yes, please.
Yavandikaya ratamatma vashopakalpam.
Garishta charana chanaya nishatam. Jnana semachuta balo dadadasta shatru. Svananda tushta upashanta idam vijaya. Yes, can we have one Vaishnavi, please? Consider to be a chariot. Atmavasha. Dependent upon one's own control. Upakalpam. In which there are many other subordinate parts. Date. One possesses. Garishta charana. The lotus feet of the superiors, namely the spiritual master and his predecessors, Achanaya, by serving, Nishatam, sharpened, Jnanasim, the sword or weapon of knowledge. Achyuta Bala, by the transcendental strength of Krishna. Dada, holding Asta Shatru, until the enemy is defeated. Svananda Tushta, being fully satisfied by transcendental bliss. Upashanta, the consciousness being cleansed by transcendental bliss. Upashanta means the consciousness being cleansed of all material contamination. Idam, this body, Vijayat, one should give up. So, this is a verse which gives a recommendation for all of us who are still struggling in the material world. No? As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors, parampara. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. These are famous enemies, lust, greed, etc. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. So here in this verse, my dear devotees, we hear that as we go through our lives, we require the protection of our spiritual master and his predecessors. That's one thing. But we must also have the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives us strength. No? So two things. We must follow in the line of our parampara, and we must have the strength from the Lord. Both are important. Consider the example of a lotus flower. The lotus flower needs two things in order to grow. It needs to have sunshine, and it needs to have water. It's somehow situated in the middle. So in the same way, a devotee in this world will need the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, blessings, and also the support of a spiritual master. Imagine a lotus flower which has no water but only sunshine. It will dry up. And now imagine a lotus flower which only has water and no sunshine. It will rot. So in the same way, in our spiritual life, if we just refer to Krishna and have no guidance, we are like lotus flowers who only have the sunshine but no water to nourish them. We will dry out. You know, that affectionate, loving care and guidance is like water, which we require. But now remember, imagine we make a personality cult out of our spiritual master and only have the spiritual master and forget to pray to Krishna and forget to serve him, are only aware of the spiritual master. In that case, we are like lotus flowers who have no sun but only water. There will be some unhealthy growth. We may not rot physically, but spiritually there is an unhealthy growth. So Now, my dear devotees, I would like to take you on a philosophical journey, but because I know that you are most probably like me, a little tired. We had a full program since 4:30, so I don't know. You need to encourage me a little. Hare Krishna. Let's sing a little. That gives. There is a. No, how to do this, my dear devotees? There's Krishna, and when Krishna steps one step to the side, the same Krishna transforms into Balaram. Balaram, in other words, is in most of the aspects of his personality the same as Krishna, but only has moved one step closer to us here in this world, and therefore he is very much inclined to the souls in this world. From Balaram there are many expansions coming forth. One is Mahavishnu, the other is the Lord in the heart who is there, and also our spiritual master. All these are there in order to help the souls who have turned away from Krishna to have help, support, so that they can turn again to Krishna. This is very important if we understand Balaram. Balaram helps us to go to Krishna. There is a pranam mantra for Balaram. Would you like to chant it?
Yes.
Namaste Balinam Shrestha.
Namaste
Darina Dara. Pralambare
namaste tu.
Trahimam Krishna Purvaja. Please repeat the English. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Balaram.
The best of the strong,
and the support of the earth.
Oh,
obeisances unto you, O enemy of Pralamba. Please deliver me, O elder brother of Krishna.
Yes.
Lord Balaram performs many functions, some in the spiritual world and some here in relationship to us. Balaram is simultaneously the protector and the older brother of Krishna. He's always next to Krishna. And because Krishna, according to Mother Yashoda, doesn't know his limits, he often crosses his limits, and then Balaram needs to protect him. Oh, this is Yashoda's perspective. Then there is another function of Krishna, Balaram. He's the embodiment of devotional service. Balaram serves Krishna in all rasas. If you please look behind yourself, there is a picture of Krishna. I can't see with these glasses, but is he resting his head on the lap of Balaram or no?
No.
Is Balaram in there?
No.
Also?
Yes, he is.
He is. The top one.
You have to see through the eyes of love, my dear devotees. Oh. Then you would perhaps also see that the Lord is resting his... he doesn't always rest his head on the lap of Balaram. Sometimes he rests his head on the lap of someone else, and then Balaram massages his lotus feet. He has a lot of strength, so he knows how to push the right reflex zones, no? Balaram is there with Krishna and gives him enjoyment and pleasure. Now, the Balaram is also the expansion of the spiritual world itself. When you consider Vrindavan Dham, it has been manifested by Balaram, who is in charge of the Sandini Shakti. Don't worry, it's a little philosophical. Soon we get to... Now, I wanted to say two functions of Balaram in relationship to us. And I think here it gets very interesting for us. We can hear about the spiritual reality, but alas, we don't have really the means to understand this completely, because we are limited by our mind and by our intelligence, and therefore it's very difficult for us to grasp the spiritual reality. But there are two things about Balaram which are very relatable to us. First of all, he is the bestower of mercy upon sincere seekers. We know that he has come in this age of Kali as Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada writes about this. Significant in this verse are the words Gyanasim Achuta Bala. Gyanasim means the sort of knowledge that's given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold this sort of Krishna's instruction, Balaram gives one strength. In simple words, if you want to follow spiritual instructions, you will get the strength of Balaram. Balaram is who? Yes, you might have to wake up, my dear devotees. Balaram is Nityananda. Say, Nityananda. Yeah, this is half dead. Nityananda! Good. Vajenda Nandana Ye Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoila Nitai. Repeat, Balaram Hoila Nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papita pijato chila harinama udarila. Their weapon is sankirtan or harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. So you get spiritual knowledge from Krishna, but the strength to implement it is Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. My dear devotees, when it came to choosing the deities for the middle altar in our temple in Vrindavan, at that time Prabhupada didn't have so many temples as of yet. There was Mayapur, there was Juhu, Mumbai, and there was a Krishna Balaram temple which was made. So the question was, this temple is in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, who is mainly worshipped on the main altars? Radha and Krishna. But Prabhupada chose to worship Krishna and Balaram on the main altar, and in this way did something extraordinary and something special. And his mind, his idea was, we are living in the age of Kali, where our spiritual path is thorny and it's difficult for us to walk it. So we do require special strengths, the strengths of Lord Balaram. But he had another, even more deep reason. He wanted to show that Krishna and Balaram have come in this age of Kali as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. And therefore, you have Krishna, and you start your darshan, Chaitanya and Nityananda, Nitaigora are there, then you go to Krishna and Balaram. They are identical. He wanted to make a statement. People, listen. No. We have the age of Kali. We are weak, we are lazy, we are misguided, we are lusty, we are all these things. But the Lord has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are no one else than Krishna and Balaram. That is his message with this temple. This is a speaking temple. Little later in this, all the purports here in this around this shloka are full with Krishna Balaram and Gornitai. For instance, I read you here: without the protection of Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, one cannot get out of the dark veil of ignorance in material existence. You need Gornitai. He continues, the living entity must get strength from Nitai Gaur or
Krishna.
You start to get it. The living entity must get strength from this source. Without the mercy of Nitai Gaur, there is no way to come out of this dark well of ignorance. And he goes on. He goes really on. He chants a shloka here. Chant with me, but a little loud so that we get the energy here up. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Nityanando
Sahodito. Nityanando
Sahodito. Gododaye
Pushpavanto.
Chitro chando tamo nudo. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benedictions upon one and all. My dear devotees, these purports before this verse and after this verse are simply nectarian glorifications showing Prabhupada's merciful mood to try to help us here in this Kali Yuga. And give us the necessary help we require. For spiritual life, my dear devotees, you need to have strength. Because when you will follow your spiritual life sincerely, you will have to practice discipline. Without discipline, the false lords of your life, your desire to enjoy this world, no, will take over. The devotee has to say no when the whole world screams yes. Yeah, he has to say no to the demands and impulses which come from the mind and the body. This is a very, very important. Now, he has to understand that my identity is to be a part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone in the world has another concept. We go and swim against the stream of public opinion. Be careful to become normal, my dear devotees, because what is normal today is craziness tomorrow. Yes, it's not the truth to be truthful position to be normal in this world. With normal, when I say be careful to become normal, I mean don't imitate those who are blind to the spiritual truth. No. Now strengths. We need strengths. You must know that there are two types of strengths. One is physical and mental strength. For instance, I can have a certain amount of physical strength and I have a certain amount of mental strength. I can understand certain things within a certain limit. This material strength of mind, intelligence, and body is called Purushakara. It is what is human. Purusha means human here, what a human being can do. Then there is another type of strength. This is called Daivi. It is the strength which is given by the Lord. It is spiritual strength. Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy. He says, when Ramachandra's army, which was composed of Vanaras, a type of super intelligent monkeys, it's a different, they are not like the monkeys you see in Vrindavan. They are extremely erudite and so on, but they're living in the forest. This army was fighting against the most well-equipped army of the universe at that time. It was Ravana's army. You can't imagine the weapons which they had, the Rakshasas, at that time. They were stronger than some of the modern weapons which we have today. They were using, for instance, the power of magic. Oh, the power of magic, my dear devotees. That is more strong than your tank, Leopard tank or whatever they are called, no? They used powerful magic, powerful black magic. Oh, it was so black. Just to think about it makes us afraid. But so these Vanaras were not armed with anything. They had stones. And sometimes they use trees, and Ravana and his forces used this most sophisticated weaponry. But still, by the power of Lord Ram's empowerment, they were victorious because they were empowered with Devi, with divine strength. For spiritual life, you will need this spiritual empowerment. It's said in our scriptures, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. One can't attain the platform of self-realization without this spiritual strength. It's not possible. You can't do it with physical strengths, which you can build up in the gym. You will require for your path spiritual strengths, which you can build up through sadhana, spiritual practice. I have come to know there is one sadhu in Vrindavan. He has a kidney failure. Since many years, both of his kidneys do not work. But he does service all day. He gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning. This is some encouragement for the people here who are not morning persons. You know, yes. He does this by spiritual power. That is known. Now, I wanted to say, this spiritual power is necessary, my dear devotees, because we live in a world of deterioration. That is, things always diminish in strength. Look at your calf. As the years go by, the strength of the functionality of the calf will go down. Look at your own physical body. As the years go by, your strength decreases. Your muscles shrink and you are no longer as strong as you were. Even relationships suffer from the law of deterioration if there is not constant effort put into the relationships that they work. You know, if there are no investments in relationships, then soon you have no friends and your wife leaves you because she thinks there are more attractive people than you. This is sad. You should now not laugh. This is like, sometimes you laugh at the wrong place, you know. It's almost like there is a funeral and then a devotee comes to the funeral and he starts to laugh. People go, here, I give you 10 euros. You can go to a psychological treatment. Hare Krishna. So everything in this world deteriorates. Do you know, my dear devotees, that with each step you are undertaking, you're moving one step closer to death? Woo! This is a fact. So in order to survive in this world, strength is required. When the strength leaves you, you will die. In the same way, you require spiritual strength. If you don't have spiritual strength, my dear devotees, if you are not given this spiritual strength, you cannot move on in your spiritual life. There is a lecture of Srila Prabhupada in which Prabhupada told his audience something that you will like very much. He said to them right into their face, the difference between you and me is that you can fall down, but I cannot fall down. After the class, one disciple saw Srila Prabhupada going to the deities and praying. And a little later he asked, he was still under the influence of what Prabhupada had said, that he cannot fall down, that he was there praying. He said, may I know what you were praying for? And Prabhupada said, I was praying that I may never fall down. The disciple said, but in your talk you said that you can never fall down. And Prabhupada replied, yes, because I'm always praying never to fall down, therefore I can never fall down. Even a perfected being in this world prays for spiritual strength so that he can move on in his life without any obstacles. This is how absolutely important spiritual strength is. This was meant for you to wake up. This, we had made this arrangement, you know. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, as long as one has a body, this is the Bhagavatam instruction, there are enemies in our spiritual life. The enemies are we ourselves, really, who are prone to greed and lust and anger. And as long as this is our situation, as long as we are conditioned, these enemies can at any time get the better hold of us. They can fight us. And without the strength of the Lord, we are helpless. We don't have anything to go by. We may choose the wrong road, the wrong direction in our spiritual life, and there will be plunderers who come as we move on, which will plunder our intelligence and so on and so forth. No? So this is how important it is to have spiritual strength. Now this strength we hear is given by Lord Balaram. I have a very close relationship to Burijan Prabhu, and once we were sitting, his good wife was also there, and they remembered that when the Krishna Balaram deities had been installed in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada was very relieved. Do you know on which side of Krishna Balaram stands? On Krishna's right side. Mm-hmm. Srimati Radharani is on Krishna's left side, yes. But she is usually not there when Balaram is there. Before the older brother, she is not associating with Krishna. So when the deities were installed, Srila Prabhupada said, we should pray to Krishna for intelligence, and we should pray to Balaram for? Do you know in your life that you know many things, but that you cannot always act upon the knowledge? Is this a phenomena which you have? I know this also. When I know I shouldn't eat this extra slice of bread, I have already enough. But it's Padmakshi bread, and I only get it when I come to Radha Desh. Yeah, I know I should, especially not in the evening. The bread is also there. So, and then I may not be able to act upon my better intelligence, because intelligence alone is useless on spiritual life if you don't have, if it's not coupled with this spiritual strength to put it into action. If you have only intelligence but no spiritual strength, your problem is not solved. Because, as we said, as long as you're in the material world, there will be obstacles placed on your path. That will be there. It will come. It will come. Mm. Sometimes, my dear devotees, it may take a long time before we really humbly understand our helpless position and pray finally for the help of the Lord. Because we are so much used to solve things on our own strengths, you know. You have gotten up, you did not pray for strength to get out of your bed. You just put your muscles and you gave yourself the order, let's get up. When you drive, you get into the car and you handle the car and it takes you somewhere. You didn't pray for strength to arrive at your destination. When talking, you know, you are using your intelligence to make your point. You don't usually, before you talk, ask for intelligence and strength to say the right things. When you open your computer, your laptop, in order to do your various services or communication on emails or WhatsApp and so on, you are used to do it on your own, no? You have your code and your mobile telephone. You don't pray, please open my dear mobile telephone, but you swipe in an S and the thing turns on. We are used to act on our own, aren't we? My dear devotees, Krishna has invested in all of us certain abilities, and we can, so that we can function and we can use them. This is true. But when it comes to the real things in life, we have to pray for strength. A person like me is often asked, pray for me. Pray for me. My father has cancer. My daughter has not learned before the examination and will fail. Can you pray for her? But there are very serious things which we asked. We are contemplating to move from Europe to America. Please pray for us, Maharaj. America, we don't know where it turns with the present leadership, you know, and so on. Very often, maybe I get two requests a day, sometimes also no request, but and I always tell back to the people, I say, yes, my dear devotees, I will pray for you, but I also request you, you have seen that there is a greater challenge before you than the one like opening your mobile telephone or so on. Now you please turn to the Almighty Lord and pray to Krishna also. Please do this. You have to, we have to all learn this, that we are dependent in this world on the Lord and His strength. Especially, in a way we are always dependent, but we can understand it, especially when there's something that is greater than my ability which needs to be done. So today is our good day, my dear devotees, because don't think Krishna and Balaram appeared only 5,000 years ago. No, in this verse which we have chanted a little while ago, they are compared to the sun and the moon. Sun and the moon appears not just 5,000 years ago. This morning the sun appeared, and this afternoon or not evening the moon will appear. In the same way, Krishna and Balaram are effect, my dear devotees. They are more of effect than you. You are a soul, but you are covered with something you are not, the body and the mind. Krishna and Balaram are not covered. They are pure spiritual reality, and they can always appear. Today they can appear in your life. Tomorrow they can appear in their life. They never truly set. They never truly leave you alone. But as long as you are marching in pride, thinking that on your own strengths you can manage your life, you will not turn to them. And that will mean, to express it like Pandava Senas would do, you will live a very ordinary, limited life. For a life which is empowered, for a life that has extra strengths and extra intelligence, for a life that has a lot of mangala, auspiciousness, you always need to pray to Krishna Balaram, especially to Balaram. See, Prabhupada, he is Prabhupada. He is, what can I say? I can only repeat what Prabhupada said about his spiritual master. He's a Vaikuntha man, a person from another world, another dimension. But he goes before the deity, and he prays to the deity. I myself have seen that in my life, my dear devotees. When I was a young person who had just shaved up his head, I was young, I was wild, and I was foolish. A very dangerous combination of things. And I had joined the London Temple. When my school started, I had not gone back to school because I hated the boredom. And I was in rebellion and so on. And I was given a service to clean the plates, or the, is it called katoris? You know, these small cups. When they came back from the altar, you know, the cook filled the plates, the katoris, then it was brought to the altar and it was offered, and when it came back, the items were put on a special plate, and the katoris now needed to be cleansed. And at that time, I was very struggling with my mind. I was very much struggling with my mind. There were all these tempting things in Germany, friends, music, my old life, everything. But I felt the call of the Lord that I should become Prabhupada's servant and Krishna's servant. And I was torn, oh no. And people from Germany came, all my friends came, my musicians came, come back, come back, come back. I said, is it a few more days, you know? I was torn. My grandfather died and said, come, 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 I'm dying, you know, I have to tell you something. I was torn, and therefore my service was not very nice. I must have done a lousy job. So one morning, you know, you must know Prabhupada was there, and he would always give his lecture. After his lecture, we would go out of the temple room to eat prasadam in the downstairs, and Prabhupada would stay alone and pray to Krishna, Radha London Ishvara. So one morning, Prabhupada called the cook, and he said to the cook, the plates in which you serve Krishna Prasadam are dirty. The the cook were thinking, how does Prabhupada know? You know, I take the katoris and ping, I put the prasadam in. Usually I'm last minute man, so I can't look very very much if they are clean or not. Ah, the German bhakta. He doesn't clean the katoris nicely, and Krishna has complained to Krishna. Krishna has complained to Prabhupada when he was praying that you are serving my food in dirty plates because your German bhakta doesn't do his job very nicely. You know? So Prabhupada, he knew this because Krishna talked to him, and the cook came and he said, you are fired. You can't even wash the katoris. I said, what happened? Prabhupada heard from Krishna that they are dirty. I said, really? Is this religious imagination? But then I understood. I should not argue. I said, please give me another chance. I must admit, I'm a little bit mental these days, you know, a little distraught. Do you get the point? So, yes, they are there. Krishna is there. Krishna can talk. Krishna can eat. Krishna can also give you strengths. But in order to do this, he will go to the strengths department. He will go to Balaram and tell Balaram, you take care of my devotees. When they turn to you, you should not turn them away, but you should be very, very directly in their life and give them strength. I want to end with one pastime, a very interesting pastime. You all have heard this pastime. I will not tell it in detail. There was one morning when the cowherd boys came to Krishna and Balaram and said, we are hungry and we want these special fruits which are growing in the Talavan forest. At that moment a beautiful breeze came and gave the smell of the fruits in the Talavan forest. There was a problem with these fruits. These fruits belonged to the fruit garden of King Kamsa, and he had guards who guarded the fruits. It was Denukasura, an intelligent ass, you know, donkey. It was a demon donkey. So don't think they are like your donkey on the Belgium farms. You know, they are the real ones, powerful, intelligent demon beings. When the cowherd boys said they wanted to eat the fruits, this was forbidden territory. It was the garden of Kamsa. But Krishna said, let's go. And they went there, and they were, the Denukasura and his donkeys came, but Lord Balaram and not Krishna killed Denukasura. Krishna also killed some smaller donkeys, but Balaram did the main one. This has a deep meaning. It was like this. Balaram went into the forest and he started to shake the trees that all the tala fruits came falling down. And then Denukasura came and he killed Denukasura. Now the acharyas tell us you need a spiritual master to shake for you the tree of Vedic knowledge so that the fruits come down and you can eat them. Without the help of a spiritual guidance, the Vedas don't make so much sense to us. We need that. And the other lesson from this Leela is, you need also help to kill Dhenukasura, who represents four types of ignorance. Would you like to know the ignorance?
Yes.
You might recognize a few of them in your own life. Please don't cry and become desperate and discouraged, because there's help. First of all, Dhenukasura represents the ignorance of the truth due to foolishness. Have you seen sometimes Dhenukasura coming into your mind when you are not convinced that you are eternal? Does this happen? When you become totally drawn to the material understanding of life. That is Dhenukasura. Dhenukasura represents also the loss of knowledge of your spiritual identity. So often we become pulled into the false stories and into our masks and roles and forget the true self. So often it happens. Dhenukasura further represents the ignorance concerning the non-difference of Krishna and his name. Do you sometimes feel you are very far away from understanding Krishna is Krishna, or the name of Krishna is identical? That is when Dhenukasura has just galloped into your mind. Finally, Dhenukasura represents the ignorance of our relationship with Krishna. So all these types of ignorance are dispelled by Balaram and his representative Srila Prabhupada and your own spiritual masters. Because we need help. Krishna has given this help to Balaram. My dear devotees, so often we feel less inspired, we feel we are drawn into mindsets that are not helpful for Krishna consciousness. This is when we become overwhelmed by our inner enemies. And when we, and one of them is when Dhenukasura gallops into our mind and heart. Yes. And we need help. No one of us can come out of this world without help. No one can do it alone. Therefore, there is a prayer which I would like to say at the end. May Lord Balaram's gentle smile and his powerful presence guide us on our spiritual journey. May this gentle smile of Balaram protect us from the obstacles and infuse our hearts with spiritual strength in our devotional service. May this mercy of Lord Balaram come to all of us here and also, of course, outside the temple. People are feeling the lack of spiritual strength, and therefore they are trembling and falling on their spiritual path and in their life in general. This world needs the spiritual strength of Balaram more than at any other time. By the way, that you can say this any moment in time. Yes. This was my little attempt to glorify Lord Balaram. I'm not sure if my you know, the main focus of what I wanted to say is clear to you, because there were many points. So let me summarize it, condense it, present a takeaway for you. The takeaway is very simple. We live in a world of deterioration. Things are going down. If there would be no maintenance in Radhadesh, the castle would fall down. I know from time to time we need to make repairs. The last repair was on, which I'm aware of, is on the tower, was on the tower. But if we would not have done anything, the tower would have fallen down. But there are other maintenance things which I'm not aware. There is a lot of maintenance which needs to be done. Because you need to move against the law of deterioration in this world. So because this is a fact, we are in a difficult situation. What we can see, very practical, is that our enthusiasm deteriorates, our spiritual practice may deteriorate at any moment, we may feel tired or so on. This is natural for this material nature, and therefore we need to have the strength of the Lord, and that strength is given to Lord Balaram. So please let us turn now to the deities. Everyone, I will chant again the pranam mantra of Lord Balaram. And please put it to some, say it with some good intelligence. Where will you turn your attention? Ekachaka has said there are three Balarams on the altar. More now. How many? Five? Seven. Wow. I can see Lord Nityananda, the most merciful form of Balaram. He's on our left side, on Lord Chaitanya's right side, right? I can see also Balaram of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Can you see? They're all in white. How do you like the new dress, the blue dress? Balaram's dhoti is all blue, you know, so today the altar has turned blue. And I can see on the Jagannath altar, before the Jagannath altar, there are a lot of Krishna Balarams. They have come. You know, on the step, just when Lord Balaram would step down one step, there is two sets of Krishna Balaram. Where is Balaram? On which side of Krishna? Right side. Good. And then if Balaram steps one step further down, do you see? Also Krishna Balaram. So there is a lot of Balaram. Many Balarams are there. So for a moment, focus on Balaram, the one which you can see easily. Srila Prabhupada said we should turn to Krishna for what? Intelligence, yes, and to Balaram for strength. You know everything. Good. So, please be ready. In English, we will first say, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Balaram, the best of the strong. Please say. The best of the song. Good. Now we will say it in the language of Sanskrit. Namaste. Namaste Balinam Shrestha.
Namaste Balinam Shrestha.
Namaste Dharani Dara.
Namaste Dharani Dara.
La Pralambare Namaste Tu.
Pralambare Namaste Tu.
Trahi Mang Krishna Puvaja. This is Balaram. I thank you very much for listening so kindly, so kind of you. Do you have any questions which you would like to ask at this time? Yes, I'm sorry, I'm overcome by tiredness. From there, where? There, yes. We have a microphone for you.
Thank you. The red button down.
Thank you for your lecture, Maharaj. You said that intelligence comes from Krishna and strength comes from Balaram. Yet, we hear that in order to approach Krishna, we need Radharani to recommend us. So it's apparently not what you know, but who you know. So you want to expand on that, please?
Yeah. Yes, my dear, thank you, Savatma Prabhu. Yes, there are many details in Krishna consciousness, and this is a principle. Prabhupada spoke on Radhastami, the glories of Radharani, and said, we should go to Radha because if she recommends us to Krishna, then Krishna will not say no, he will say yes to us. There are many such recommendations. On Nityananda's appearance day, we only talk about Nityananda. Balaram's appearance day, only Balaram. On Krishna's appearance day, only Krishna. Savarma Prabhu, this is the nature of devotion, you know. Devotion is not a rational, is a transrational, it's more than rational, it includes rationality. And therefore, on the appearance day, we always go exclusively Krishna. So because Balaram is so much into, it's on Balaram, but because they always are together, we cannot separate Krishna Balaram. So, in a way, now I'm talking to the new devotees, it's all God, you know, it's all. But we learn in Krishna consciousness the different aspects, the different sides, the different parts, the different moods, the different characteristics of the Lord. So, yes, it's all the Lord. And there is no real difference in the Lord. It's just like Prabhupada described Radharani once as the merciful sight of the Lord. You know, so Balaram is the strong part of the Lord. So, yes. It really depends, Savatma Prabhu, where a devotee's preference lies, how he best can relate to Krishna. There are devotees who cannot relate to Radharani. They feel Krishna is their prana bandhu, their friend, and they want to race with Krishna over the fields of Vrindavan. And Radharani, No, we want to play with Krishna and hurt the cows. So they will not turn to Radharani. They will turn to Krishna, Balaram. It depends on your taste, really, on your special attraction which the Lord has given in your heart. That attraction which you have is your greatest potency, your greatest strength. So Prabhupada serves all the devotees by highlighting all the different personalities and yes, so this is what I can say. Thank you very much. Yes, our Mataji, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I really appreciated hearing the pastime of Srila Prabhupada praying to not fall down. And he had so much faith in his prayer that he could say with such conviction that I will not fall down. And I was wondering how we can build faith in our prayer so that we can move more towards conviction rather than trying to solve our problems ourselves.
There are two types of doubts. Doubt before conviction, and there's also doubt after conviction or faith. What is more dangerous? It's the doubt after faith. You were faithful once, and then doubt has entered you. You may have accepted things too quick, too early. The natural way is you are first doubtful and then you clear the doubts. The doubts are cleared in two ways, really. One is by philosophy. You ask devotees. But as we said in the lecture, intelligence or philosophical conviction needs the fundament of spiritual strength. And that strength of conviction that comes by experience. If you wish to have a firm faith, go to the toilets and clean them. Don't take it literal. What I want to say is do devotional service where you really go beyond your limits and render devotional service for Krishna, and Krishna will reciprocate with you and give you that firm faith, that faith after doubt. I want to encourage all of you, clarify your questions so that you can become strong. But there are some, but please also know there is a limit of what philosophical understanding can do for you. It's not the only thing. You require experience. There was once the vice chancellor of the Benares Hindu University. Those of you who have visited this university know it's a huge campus, huge. It's like a town within a town. And he came and had a very difficult question to solve. So he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and posed his question. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I don't have really time now. Please come back in the evening. But for now, please go to the pujari and help him clean his artic paraphernalia. So the vice chancellor was not used to clean. But due to the strong presence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went and helped cleaning, you know, rubbing the ghee, the lamb, cleaning the ghee, the old ghee, the burnt stains away, you know, making his hand a little blackish. And while he was doing this, he contemplated the question, and it became clear to him, oh, we have seen some little animals from the forest have come. Hare Krishna. No, please keep it. It looks very good. Yes, very good. Wonderful. A bear. So yes, service gives us an experience of Krishna consciousness that is very enriching and convincing. Maybe you shouldn't go to the bathrooms. You're a well-mannered lady. You should maybe ask the pujari, can I clean? You know, this is the secret of how to understand Krishna consciousness. By only by bhakti, by devotional service, can the Lord be understood as he really is, and you can enter the secret of his understanding. So this is how you can strengthen your faith. This is one of the ways. Also, I would recommend you speak with devotees and ask them, what is your experience in Krishna consciousness? What has given you conviction? And you might get surprising answers which help you on your path and help you to resolve any remaining questions. But you can see, if blind faith will always bring about doubt after faith. It will always come. You must solve it before. Doubt before faith. That's the best, the natural way. And that needs to be us. I remember Prabhupada would get lists like this, you know, with questions. One, this is, you know, imagine this to be three times as long. He would get such letters, and he would say, I have to spend gallons of blood to convince these Westerners, you know. But he did not shy away from this. But sometimes our doubts, our questions were so, that Prabhupada would say, when he got this long list, he said, your questions will be answered to you when you go to Krishna Loka. he got sometimes tired of answering these lists, but in general he really did a lot to convince his devotees. And that's good, that's necessary. I mean, it's necessary to ask the questions. It's doubt is a sign of intelligence, but it must be solved in the beginning of your spiritual life. There will be questions later, but these questions will not influence your faith in Krishna. I still have questions at this stage of a philosophical nature, but they do not at all disturb or so on. They're just signs of a very active mind, you know, nothing in particular. Good. Anyone else? Yes, I will turn to Gopinath. We have a microphone for you, Gopinath. By the way, Gopinath, it's such a relief to see some saffron in the audience. I feel so alone in the village. Yeah.
Thank you so much. So the takeaway, and you specifically mentioned this takeaway, was to somehow pray and get the knowledge from Krishna and the spiritual strength of Balaram. But one thing that stood out to me in the verse that you quoted today is the second line, Date Garishta Charna, so one must possess the lotus feet of one's superiors. So could you give more explanation on, maybe if I understand this correctly, that I always hear that to surrender or serve the lotus feet of a spiritual master or a senior Vaishnava means to follow their instructions. So is that correct, or is there more to this from the verse of today?
Let me just, can you help me please? I have closed the book. Where is it? 7:15. It's sometimes good to go into the Sanskrit. As long as one has to accept a material body which is with its different parts and paraphernalia which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. So Garishta Charanam means the lotus feet of the superiors, and Prabhupada details it, namely the spiritual master and his predecessors, the parampara. You must know, Krishna manifests this whole world in order to accommodate the desires of the living beings who want to move independently from him. But then Krishna does something. He puts inbuilt in this whole world frustration upon trying to enjoy. I think all of you know that this frustration upon trying to enjoy the world has brought you, inspired you to look for answers out of this world. So then Krishna gives the Shastras so that a living being, a living entity who is becoming a question mark, so to say, who has this question, is there something higher than these worldly things, has directions. And then, Gopinath, he will give you acharyas or spiritual practitioners into your life who show how to live the Shastras. This is Krishna's divine plan. I remember we in our Gaura Bhavan, we had a very nice Grihastha couple who lived with us, Varaha Prabhu and Nikunja. They lived above. Now this apartment is other devotees lived there because they went to Mayapur, and they had a little daughter. The daughter was called Mandali. And Mandali one day came to her mother and said, "I don't want to eat your food any longer, Mama. I want to cook my own food." So the mother, in being so kind, gave a little toy kitchen. But the food which Mandali tried to cook was not relishable, because you can't make a chapati without fire. These toy kitchens typically have no fire or electricity, because the child will burn itself. It's just an imitation kit. So that Mandali got frustrated, and then she went back to her mother and said, "Can I please have a chapati?" So this is how Krishna works also with us. He gives us a toy kitchen, the material world, But inbuilt in it, he gives some frustration by his mercy, that we go back to him and say, "Can I please? Can I try again, please?" So this is the mercy of Krishna. Now, because you may not be in our example, Mandali could go to the mother and talk to the mother. For us here in this world, it's very difficult to talk to Krishna always and get always very clear answers. Therefore, we need the direction of Shastra and devotees of the Lord Acharya, spiritual master, who can give us an example. Gopinath, when we were with Prabhupada, all of us, we could just sit before Prabhupada and look at him and feel encouraged in our life. I remember my older brother, he came to Paris to photograph Prabhupada. He was not yet a devotee. He did all kinds of things. I don't want to say these are private things. But he came to make photographs of Srila Prabhupada. And he told me afterwards, the way he drinks, you know, Prabhupada would go like this, and then it would flow right into his mouth, and not only into the mouth, right into the stomach. He could drink like this. So we would look at him, a person from the spiritual world, and we would feel encouraged. This is what we feel when we are with good devotees. We feel encouraged in our spiritual life. So therefore, yes, we need these superiors in our life. We need this. And in our learning from a spiritual master, something very important has to take place. And I really want to ask you now to listen very intently, because this point is not often told. I have taken it from Bhuri Jampabhu's book, The Art of Teaching. A spiritual master, in training his students or training anyone, wishes that somehow the knowledge he gives comes into the mind of his disciple and will inform the disciple. In other words, it's not that we be always asked on anything, but it is that the knowledge which he gives comes to us. An example is given. Before the sun sets, the sun gives its power of light to the moon. And then, even in the absence of the sun, we have some light. So even in the absence of the spiritual master, either he may not be there where we are, or we may not be able to ask him so many questions because his email is filled up and crowds over. The hope is that the spiritual knowledge, just like the moon, raises in the heart of the disciple and guides him. So he's guided in a way from within. That's very, very important, because in this way, not a dependency on the person develops, where you are without strength, without intelligence when the person is not there, or when he leaves the planet. But if you learn to absorb the knowledge you have gotten and then run with it, so to say, you will in some ways, you are not dependent on physical presence any longer. And that is very important for each for each disciple. Prabhupada would sometimes prepare us. He would say, we can use everything in Krishna's service. We can use a car in Krishna's service. We can use a tape recorder in Krishna's service. We can use the atom bomb in Krishna's service. We went like this, yes, yes. We can use a little dog in Krishna's service. Yes, Prabhupada. When will you ever learn something? How can I use a dog in Krishna's service? But the idea in the Vedic times was the dog was be outside the house, no? How? So Prabhupada would really, in English you would say, lead us on, isn't it? Until we made the mistake and then he got it out. You are not listening, you are not thinking. When do you ever think? He would do this a few times, you know. I knew about this, so when Prabhupada asked the question, I never said anything because I always say everything wrong. this aspect of taking shelter in the Vani, really, and like having the rays of the sun within your consciousness, that's very important. I'm saying this because sometimes I feel the understanding of guru has turned into a guru cult almost, you know, and something where you're only dependent on the person, and that will not help you, and it's not in the idea of the spiritual teacher. Have I answered the question? Thank you, Gopinath. I must admit to you, I'm a little tired, so I have only 75% of my brain here. Good, my dear devotees. Now it is scandalously late. 10:45. I suggest we stop our class here. Is that all right? Good.